Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello everybody, welcome to the show, lovely to have you here. Before we get into it, firstly, thanks to our wonderful Patreons. You are a wonderful bunch of folks that help us keep the lights on here at Insane in the Membrane Towers. You really are helping us keep this podcast on the rails. It's really good of you. If you're not a patron, you'd like to join them, when you join them you'll get over 50 archive interviews. You get early access to our filmed interviews, including this episode. So go to patreon.com/membrane podcast or click the Linktree link in the podcast description and in all of my social media bios. So when you go to Instagram or Twitter, you'll see in the bios there's a link there. You click that and that takes you to everything that we do. So that will take you to producer Paul's stuff, that'll take you to my website, that'll take you to our radio show on Islington Radio, the Tuned Up Time Machine, and it will take you to our Patreon page. So do that for us, that would be fantastic. We really appreciate that. And again, thank you to all of our Patreons already. You really are doing a wonderful job. Thank you. So this week's guest is Zoe Lyons. Before we get into that, I'll tell you now, Zoe's podcast with Stephen Bailey is called Let's Talk About the Husband, and it's on all podcast platforms. It's absolutely brilliant. Stephen Bailey has been a past guest before, as Zoe Lyons, but we'll talk about that in a minute. It's the pair of them together is brilliant, all right? They're both very funny people, and it works a treat. So that's available on all podcast platforms. And also, Zoe is on tour. If you go to zoelyons.co.uk for tour tickets, you'll be able to see where she's going to be. She's going to be near you. I urge you to go and see her because she's one of the best comedians in the country. And I love her, and I know that you will if you see her. So go and see her. Stop mucking around. All right. The episode. Now, back in... This must have been 2020, around about that time. Zoe and I have known each other for many years, and I wanted to get Zoe on for ages, so we had Zoe on the podcast. And separately, we didn't realise that we were both going through some, for want of a better phrase, some heavy shit. And we didn't realise until we got talking to each other, we were both in a similar sort of boat. And the episode ended up kind of us sort of lifting each other up inadvertently. We didn't realise that's what was going on, and you know, basically realising that there was love there, and realising that that's what we needed at the time, and realising that we were, you know, we had a lot of people around us that were taking care of us, and we didn't realise that. We talk about that in the episode, really. We talk about when you're in the middle of that, you don't really know what's going on. It's not till you come out the other side that you kind of go, wow, that was fucking bleak. But we talk about that. You'll hear that in the episode. And so I saw Zoe at a gig a little while ago, and she just looked brilliant. She looked better. Things were happening, and I was like, you know, we were like, let's get her back on the podcast and see what's up. And so we had her back on, and honestly, it was one of the best episodes. I love her dearly. It's a joy to talk to her, and it's so lovely to see that she's out the other side. And you'll hear about all that in the episode. So, do you know what? I keep talking about the episode. Let's have the episode. So, coming up in a minute is Zoe Lyons.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
So no Christmas in, though. You're going away, aren't you?
Christmas Day. Oh, Rich, I can't wait for Christmas this year because it's just not happening. It's not happening. I'm on Christmas Day at 2 o'clock. I'll be on a flight to Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah, we just decided last year, we went, you know what, sod it. So we're going to, Christmas night, I'm going to spend in a airport hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, which will be as shit as it sounds. And and then we fly down to Mexico the following day.
Oh, that's the way you do Christmas.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love the idea of that, being in a shitty hotel in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Because I love movies, so I see all these things. That when you see, like, I was watching The Equalizer the other day, and Denzel Washington was just sat in this, like, late night diner.
Bang on trend.
Yeah. I'm like, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. But have a cup of really bad coffee, a bottomless cup of really bad coffee served by a woman called Candy or Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mindy.
Yeah. And there's always pie. Pie's always around.
Pie. Have some pie. I'm hoping for my Christmas this year. I'm really hoping that there is a KFC open in the airport. I'll take a bottle of champagne with me too, and we'll have KFC and champagne in a airport hotel in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, see, that's how you do it. That's proper, that is. We don't really have the equivalent over here. I mean, standing outside a shut Costa on the M6.
Yeah, That'd be it. Yeah.
Not the same.
So I'm quite happy. Like, so we're not going to put a tree up or anything. So I'd have to take it down. You know, Christmas is a funny thing, isn't it? There's so much pressure to get caught up in the inverted commas tradition of it all. And actually, it might not be your thing or might not be your tradition. And I just thought we could just make our own traditions.
Yeah.
Do our own thing.
Yeah. So just go to Mexico. How cool is that? What are you going to do when you're in Mexico?
We fly down to Baja, which is the little sort of appendix bit that hangs off California. And then we're there for about 2 days. And then we get on a boat and we go out to the Socorro Islands, which are in the middle of the Pacific. And we go diving with sharks.
All right, mate.
Yeah. That's how I roll.
So you're going to be Christmas dinner.
I'm going to be pigs in blankets this year. In fact, when I do put my wetsuit on, it's the first thing I think of. I'm like, that's a pig in blanket. Look at that. So, neoprened up. So, yeah, I could be Christmas dinner for some sort of big predator out in the Pacific. I'm quite looking forward to that.
Especially now all the humans have eaten all the fish. They're starving.
I wouldn't blame a shark. We treat them so badly. I'd be like, fair enough, mate. Have a nibble. Don't have a nibble.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Because they say that a shark attack is, they don't realise, because we're not very nice. We don't taste very nice.
No.
So when they bite you, then they go, oh, that's not very nice. And they spit you out. But a shark nibble will cut you in half.
A bit of a nibble, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
I find that I know what you mean about the wetsuit thing. Having worn one before, and you put it on, and you go, "Oh, I feel good. That feels nice." I bet I look, and then you see yourself. Like,
oh wow, the legs always look skinny, and then it sort of balloons. Like you remember when you were a kid and you used to make those like, I don't know whether you did this at school, like a potato on matches. You'd make a dog character. That's what every human being looks like in a wetsuit, one of those potato on matches dog characters. Yeah.
It looks just, you can't, and when you come waddling out of the sea after you've been swimming, nobody.
No, I'm so dyspraxic and so clumsy anyway. And diving, the thing about diving is it's beautiful when you're in the water, but when you're out of the water, like trying to waddle it about on a boat, you just look like a completely clumsy penguin, and I'm clumsy anyway. I had the most brilliant accident this morning. You'll love this. I do CrossFit, and I was doing they call them dips, where you sort of do like tricep dips on a bar. Oh, yeah. I put a band across to sort of help me. And it pinged off Rich with such force, it nearly took my eye out, and I ended up lying on the floor, just holding my face. And I had literally just said to the instructor, I said, "I'm really clumsy." She said, "Are you?" I went, "Yeah, I'm quite clumsy." And then, badoing, like catapulted myself across a gym. Oh, what a dick. What a dick.
And we worry, it's bad enough, it's stressful enough going to the gym.
Yeah.
Even though no one's looking at you.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It really hurt. But you know, when you try and style it out, you're like, no, it's fine. It's just my eye. Got another one. Harry is spare.
I'll fetch the other one. It's across the room.
Oh, God almighty. I've just catapulted myself across the room.
So do you find that, though, being dyspraxic, do you find that, is everything kind of challenging?
I really dislike this about myself, I've discovered. I was talking to my other half about it. I went, actually, I really dislike this about myself. I'm quite embarrassed about how lacking in coordination I have. Do you know what brought it up for me? I was watching the World Cup, which I've been quite enjoying in places.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been watching it?
No, I don't follow football. And I wish I was not watching football.
We've had this conversation before,
And I wish I could say it's some kind of like protest that I'm not watching the football. But I just don't watch football, so no.
You see, I love the World Cup. I get quite excited about the World Cup. And I know it's in Qatar, and it's a slightly, you know, controversial place to have a World Cup. Well, it's a very controversial place to have a World Cup, but it's I sort of take that. I'm very good at sort of going, well, I'm just going to look at the football, because anyway, I was watching these stupendously talented athletes doing sliding tackles, and I thought, there's no way in God's name that I'd ever be able to perform something like that, because I have absolutely no eye to body coordination. Does that
really
make sense?
I
would just, if I attempted something like that, Rich, I'd approach it with enthusiasm. I'd go full gusto.
Your football boots would be great.
Oh, they'd be great. You know, I'd have top sock marks. And but I think I would just, like, studs would get stuck in the ground. I'd flip over, and then I would just spectacularly face plant into the pitch, and no other player would be involved. Like, there'd be no danger to any other player. Yeah, I wish I was more coordinated.
Yeah. But it's just
that thing, isn't it?
Just what it is, isn't it?
It's what it is.
Yeah.
What it is.
It's funny with that, with the football and the, yes, they, you know, they were talking about the LGBTQ thing in Qatar, and but then I think most countries are a bit shit when it comes to that. I mean, they're extremes. But
they're total extremes. I mean, let's not forget, the last place that hosted the World Cup was Russia, which has a very, very poor history of LGBTQ plus, you know, rights. It's appalling, but I don't remember it being made such a fuss of there.
No.
It's an interesting one. Have you been to Qatar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were there. I was there. I must have been there about 10 years ago, I think. Whatever it was, but they just started building things.
Yeah.
And it was, we were driving along this road, and the road was, it was miles long. It wasn't just like, and the whole, this building, wherever they were building, went the whole length of this bit of this road. And there was nothing the other side of the road except a long line of dumper trucks and diggers and JCBs and for miles, not just not just a couple of feet. It was miles.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else there.
I mean, that's what struck me when I went there, was just seeing the conditions that the workers were working in. It was just, it's pretty grim. That was really grim. Yeah. So, anyway.
If somebody go to Dubai and you're in a hotel and then you can look out your window across the city, and you'll always see there'll be like an encampment, or there'll be a diamond bit of area that's all kind of walled off, and inside that you can see these like sheds and things where obviously people live.
Yeah, it's Dubai's such a weird one, isn't it? Because it's all teeth and tits on the surface, and then just it's just horrible when you start scratching away. Yeah.
So you're back, you and Cindy are back together.
We are. So the last time I was trying to think when the last time we spoke was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were both going through it a bit.
Yeah, September 2020, I think. Oh my God, really? Yeah.
And we were both going through it.
Oh, I was living in my friend's converted garage. Oh, Rick.
That's it.
You know, sometimes I sort of explore it in my mind and I go, fuck, that was awful. Oh, man. So, yes, 2 and a bit years ago, I was living in a friend's house, having separated from my wife and experiencing what I would describe, what I can now sort of hold in my hands and go, that was a proper, I'm going to call it a breakdown, because that's kind of what it was. Yeah. The sort of scary words to say, but I think I'm coming out the other side of it and sort of observing it, holding it in your hands, looking all around it, you go, no, that was a proper breakdown. That was a breakdown.
Yeah.
The wheels came off.
That's the thing, isn't it? You don't realise when you're in the middle of it, you just, because you're just dealing with it, you don't realise when you're in the eye of the storm. You're like, like you say, literally when you come out the other side and you go, oh, fuck, yeah.
That was awful. And now when I think about it, I can remember what I felt like physically as well as mentally. And I think what was really striking about that time for me was how physically I felt my struggle, my mental struggle. I felt it. It hurt my body for over a year. I said this to somebody the other day and I went, actually, that's genuinely true. That is absolutely true. I felt my depression and my struggle were so in my bones. And that presented itself by all of my hair falling out, which it was starting to do the last time I spoke to you. It was really sort of going for it, yeah. I suppose with hindsight and with a bit of history and with time, you can look back on those things and go, wow, there's, for me, it was such a powerful lesson in how strongly connected your mental and your physical state really are. Yeah. And how important it is to look after yourself mentally so that physically you are stronger as well. The two things are so interlinked. It's incredible. I was thinking about it today, obviously, because I knew I was going to talk to you, and I thought, do you know what? As hard as it was, and it was miserable, utterly, utterly miserable, I'm very glad I went through that in life. Because it's provided me with a backdrop that I can compare everything else to now moving forward.
Yeah.
And when I have days now where I'm like a bit blue or a bit down, I go, yeah, but it's not that bad.
I'm not living in the woods.
I'm not living in the woods. I think I'm at that point where I am Ah, this sounds like such California therapy wank speech I'm just about to say, so brace yourself.
Here we go.
Hang on to your dream catchers. I'm grateful for the experience.
You piece of shit.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I am grateful for the experience. I am grateful for the experience. Yeah. I think if you come out the other side of something like that, then it's, I am. Yeah.
I think it's...
Yeah.
I tell you what's funny is that it's when you're going through stuff like that, and I remember at the time, I was like, why isn't anyone asking me about what's going on? Why isn't anyone... And it's not till you come out the other side. I'm like, oh no, people did. They could see that I was going through some shit, but they were just like kind of holding me up. They were going, you know what I mean? It's not till after you go, oh no, everyone realised.
Yeah.
But they were just like, he's going through some stuff. Let's just be here for him. And
yeah.
Because I remember making Paul Sweeney. I'd made some dinner. And I went, do you want some? I'm just making some dinner. And he went, yeah, go on, I'll have whatever it is. And I made him the shittest. It was chicken Kiev and mashed potato.
Yeah.
It was dry as shit. And bless him, he ate it. Yeah. And I said, I went, this is the shittest dinner ever. And it's one of those moments where you look back and go, oh yeah, that was right at the peak of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's gone, thanks, mate.
Thank you. I've cooked it using my own hot breath. Yeah.
My tears.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that sort of, not a sense of embarrassment around it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so important, isn't it, just to be there for people when they are going through that? Because I'd certainly never experienced anything as intense as that before. No. And I think maybe prior to that, if I knew somebody who was going through something like that, maybe there's a little bit of me that would have pulled away because I wouldn't have known what to say to them or how to deal with it. And actually, you're right. All you want is a mate to eat your shitty chicken Kiev.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need.
And it's like I remember when you were saying, like, I think you were walking every day, you were doing stuff every day, just trying to keep busy. And I was the same. I was walking for like 3 hours a day. I'd leave my flat and then I'd walk out through Hackney Wick, out through to Victoria Park. I'd get a coffee on the way and then I'd just walk round Victoria Park.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Yeah.
And that was like three and a half hours. And that was every day. And that became my routine.
Yeah.
And you don't realise, now I'm like, I get the arse if I've got to walk up the road to the shop.
Yeah. I was running probably 8 miles a day. Yeah. I was doing that because of where I was staying. And there was a run that I did. And I did it every day. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And I had, because I'd gone to this doctor about my alopecia. And they'd put me on steroids as well, steroid tablets.
Right.
Oh, Rich, I mean, never do that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, I was depressed but hyperactive with it. I could have... Oh, my God. I was so hyperactive but so depressed. Like, I could have painted your house but using my own tears. You know, it was... And the people I was staying with, my dear friends who I was staying with, they just did not know what to do with me because I didn't sleep. I just didn't sleep.
Oh, shit.
They'd get up, I'd be there going, morning! They have an aging dog that I used to take out. The dog was like, oh Christ, is she still here? Oh God. Paws are rubbed down to nubs. Yeah, no, it's weird, isn't it? And you get into those behavioural patterns and that becomes your norm. It becomes your norm. But you're on the other side now, you're way over the other side. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to the point much happier. I didn't even realise how bad it had gotten until you come out the other side, like you said, and I'm back at it and I'm gigging and I got married and I'm having a lovely time and she's beautiful and she's smashing and you go, this is what I used to feel like, like years ago, you know, but do you know what? It's the same. I'm grateful for the experience too, because makes me appreciate all this.
Yeah, this poxy
tree behind me.
Shitty tree. I can't believe you've gone so early with your tree, mate.
I just want my wife
to be
happy.
And it's not a shitty tree. It's a beautiful tree. It is a beautiful tree. But you turned on your Zoom camera and I went, oh, my God, he's gone early. Oh, my God. I'm in the first of December.
He's gone far too the other way. Now he's Christmas all year round.
Bloody Father Christmas now, isn't he? Yeah. It's nice, though, isn't it? Because I do remember, I actually remember saying to a friend, I don't know if I'll ever be happy again. I don't know whether I can ever be happy again. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what it'll feel like. And that's distressing.
Mm. Yeah.
So that when you are, and you are able, and you do move on, it's, Yeah. I mean, and the other thing I did was I got professional help for the first time in my life as well. I sought therapy and that saved me. Yeah.
Mm.
And I was very lucky. I found somebody who was very, very good and very tuned into particularly comedians and, you know, people who work in our field and... Because I'd always held in my head the idea that if I sought help, that somebody would, pull me up or berate me for using humour.
Yeah.
Even in a therapeutic setting, you know, I thought, I don't want somebody to go, why do you feel you need to laugh about that? Or why do you? I thought, I don't, you know. And I remember saying to my therapist at one point, I said, I greatly appreciate you never highlighting that. And they just said... why would I? It's how you've made your living. It's how you survive. And I thought I was so lucky to find somebody who understood. And it helped me enormously. And I would say to anybody, if you're struggling, seek help.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it was through talking through a lot of things and unpacking a lot of things that I was able to move on and move forward and understand what was going on with me. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I found a guy. Online, it was only we did it like this because of the lockdowns and things. And it was because I got to a point. I said this before. I was walking back from Tesco's, and there's a bridge where I used to work. Where I used to walk, there's canals and things, and there was a bridge that didn't go anywhere. And I'm like, oh, if I just left my phone in the flat and I went under there, and went and topped myself, no one would know. No one would know where I was, and I could do it. And that's when I went, actually, hang on a minute. And I just started to cry. And then I got hold of this, and then I got the number, and I said to whoever it was, and it says, are you having suicidal thoughts? And I said, yeah. And they got back almost straight away.
Mm.
And then just talking to this guy, John, and he was so lovely because, because it was NHS, you only get a limited time to do it. But he was great. Straight away, we got stuck into it. By the end of it, I remember the last one, and I said to him, I said, how do you feel? You must make a connection with people when you do these things. Do you feel, like, are there some people that you want to, like, you could be friends with? And he said, are you saying, do you want to be friends with me, Rich? Like, I'm just saying. I don't want to do that.
But it is an amazing thing that they do, isn't it? You know, when you read the right people at the right time and they help you, it's such a skill that they have. And, so grateful that those people are there.
Yeah, those absolutely.
I had a similar thing where when I... My lowest point, I remember I was on the beach at night and I thought I could just walk into the sea and it would be a relief. Mm. And then, of course, you don't, because you think about all of the people that it would affect around you the horrible impact that it would have on that. You know, that was the thing that made me stop in my tracks. But when you've reached that point where you go, I just want some relief. I just want relief from this. And when you realize that you are thinking about that, then that's quite alarming. That's alarming.
Yeah. But it's good that you had the wherewithal to go, hang on a minute. This is not the one.
No.
And it's a shame that this is, you know, I imagine you know people. I've known people that have done it and you go,
Wow.
But the thing is not, I had this conversation the other week with Mark Baxter on here, and you can't do anything, you really. Like, when it happens, you kind of go, oh, I should have been there, I should be more. But if they're not showing signs that they're going to do it, you're not going to just turn around and go, by the way, just in case. Don't do anything silly.
Yeah.
Because it's a really tricky one, isn't it?
It is, and I just think it's so important to... This whole experience has made me so much more open to communicating with people and being much more connected with people, and I'm much more emotional than I used to be. I was very closed off for a lot of reasons. I was very shut off and closed. And some of that had to do with what we do for a living. And I think, you know, when I started doing comedy, you just had to be ballsy. You know, particularly as a woman in comedy 20-odd years ago, you had to be ballsy. And I'm not a particularly ballsy person. I'm actually, you know, when you realise, you go, I'm actually quite shy. I'm uncomfortable quite a lot of the time. I have to front it out. I don't like being in a combative situation. I hated being heckled. I usually felt sort of slightly uncomfortable and frightened. And after 20 years, that takes its toll. And you're like, I don't even know if I'm cut out for this, you know. I'm much more open now. I'm much more emotionally connected with people. I'm better at making friends, which is lovely. And crying. I have a good cry every now and again. Quite enjoy that. Cry at the telly.
I cried at the last Christmas. I watched The Holiday. And I didn't want to watch it. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This looks shit.
Yeah.
And I was blubbing my eyes out. Yeah. And then I cried at something else. I cried at everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Even a particularly pretty window display, I'll have a little weep these days. I'm like, oh, I love what you've done there.
That's the Oxfam window looks great this year.
Look what you've done with that hat and glove combination. Oh, well done you. Yeah. So I think that's interesting that it's, I feel a lot more open, a lot more connected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you were the same. I got to the point, like things, I wasn't, it was like, if you stubbed your toe, like it would, it was like it was separate from my inner self. So it would hurt, but it wouldn't hurt, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like pain was kind of like on the outside of something. Yeah. It's a weird feeling.
Oh, it's really odd. Yeah,
yeah,
a sort of numbness.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's now you kind of, you know, it's great. It's great being the other side of it. And having seen you two out and about, it's so lovely to see. Was it easy? Was it hard? Because obviously you stayed in touch with each other.
We stayed in touch with each other. We were separated for a year. We call it our gap year now. I think everybody should have a gap year. And most people have gap years when they're 18 or 19. Fuck off. You've not done anything to have a gap from at that point. You know, have a gap year when you're 50. Yeah.
That's it.
Have a gap year. Live on your own in a shitty flat with a chair and a pot noodle, and then come back to me. This is basically what I did. And so we stayed in touch. We kept talking. I started to seek help, and Cindy, she won't mind me saying this, you know, she also had some help, and. We talked about having couples therapy, but I'm aware enough to go, no, that won't work, because
it won't work.
It'll become my show. I was like, that won't be fair on you. It won't be fair on a therapist, and I'll just treat it like a gig. So let's not do that. And individually, it wasn't just about our relationship. We had individual shit that we needed to sort out, and I think we were better for doing that. And we're in a very, very, very different place. I think it's quite interesting that we've been together for 24 years.
Wow.
But our relationship is completely different to what it was just 2 years ago, for the better. And because I was ready to walk. I'd walked away. I'd gone. Mm. I'd taken my ring off and I'd gone. So I think it's been a very interesting to sort of have that experience and discover that we were never silent with each other. We never, because we loved each other.
Yeah.
There was a genuine love for each other. Yeah. But in the state we were in, we couldn't be with each other. And we were able to find ways of being with each other as a result of seeking help outside of that. And really shining a light on our relationship for the first time and our behaviour with each other and where our behaviour came from and what was going on there. You know what it's like? In any long-term relationship, any argument that, you know, you have an argument about a spoon. Have you put that spoon there? I didn't put a fucking spoon there. Did you put a spoon there? And you go, it's not about the spoon, is it? This isn't about the spoon. It's nothing to do with the spoon. The spoon is like, I'm just a spoon. I'm just a little receptacle. That's all. Please don't hang all of this on me. It's not about the spoon. It's about so many other things.
We
learned to communicate, which sounds, again, that sounds, sorry, it sounds California wanky, but we did. We learned to communicate with each other and where we were coming from. And I had stuff I had to deal with, you know, my past and all of that, that I'd carried forward into the future and sort of project onto your partner. And
yeah,
it's really interesting. And then, and I suppose I'd never really fully delved into that side of things before. And once we did, we were able to find a way to be together. And now if we feel us, if we have an argument about the spoon, we know what's going on.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not great, isn't it? It's not the spoon.
It's funny. Yeah. I don't know if this comes from maturity or, whereas before, I don't know what it is, but now if I feel I'm getting annoyed or something's happening, I can actually just take myself off to the side for a minute and go, what are you annoyed about? What's really annoyed you?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. And it, and like you just said, like, it's not the spoon. It's, you know, it's something else. It's like, there's this thing. I was doing something the other day and something got said and I went, why is that then? And I could feel myself getting a bit, not shouty, but kind of going, ugh! And then you're like, no, hang on a minute. You were thinking about something else. Something else has annoyed you and you need to talk to that person about why it's annoyed you. But the minute you're in this place and that person's about to get the, and it's not them. And so I have to, and then I'm like, all right, And then I went in and went, listen, I was annoyed about this other thing and just that's what that was. And like, fine.
Yeah.
Communicate. It's so important.
And being big enough to go, I was wrong.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
hard,
a hard one, isn't it? Sorry, I was wrong.
Yeah. Hard.
Yeah, but it...
There is a nice sense of relief, though.
Oh, it's massive sense of relief. Of course there is. Because you know when you're holding something inside and you know it's not... You know it's not, like I say, you know it's not the spoon. And it's, and you go, I'm sorry, that was me and I'm wrong. It's all about having enough confidence in your own ego to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And that, and I think as well, perhaps I wasn't very good at taking criticism, critique was seen as a sort of negative thing where it's an attack and it's not an attack. It's an observation.
Like you said, it goes back to where you are mentally. If you're in defense mode all the time and someone just points something out and you're like, wow, oh, you're always getting at me. Hang on a minute. It's just,
I had, I think that a lot of that comes from the sort of environment I grew up as a kid. I had a stepfather who was tricky and got at a lot. So you have this sort of inbuilt defense mechanism that if you don't deal with, you carry it with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you just project it onto other people, and it's yeah, there comes a point where you just have to go, yeah, it's really not the spoon.
It's no, but it's that like you say, the things we carry around with us. I remember being in a relationship and everything I did was commented on. It was like, why are you using that? Why are you doing that? Yeah. Why don't you do that? And it was constant and all the time. And I'm like, can you not? Why are you? And then it was happening again another time. And then I got annoyed straight away. And I'm like, hang on a minute. Wait. This is because of before.
Yeah.
If you say something now, just go, look, yeah. could we not do that? Because this happened to me before and I really don't want to go through that again.
You're poking at a scar. Yeah. Stop poking at my scars.
Yeah,
yeah. And the other thing I think, just it's really basic, but you sort of get to a point in life where you go, actually, other people don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think with a partner of that long, you go, why can't you just tell what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Can't you see?
I'm spell this out.
Yeah. I've actually got to talk to you about this. You should know how I'm thinking. Yeah, it's called growing up, I think, Rich.
I know, but I think we comedians or people in our industry, not necessarily just comedians, but people in entertainment, I think we do have a bit of arrested development.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Of course we do. Look at me, Daddy, I'm dancing. Of course we do. Of course. Yeah. Do you love me now, Daddy? Yeah. I'm dancing. I mean, I have to stop myself sometimes. You know, I'll come home and Cindy be like, how was it? I'll go, oh, it was a really tough gig. And oh, the drive home was awful. And, you know, they shut one of the motorways. And then I have to go, hang on, have I performed open heart surgery on somebody who requires my skin? No, I haven't. Yeah. I've gone and done a bit of entertaining. And I had an irksome journey home. Grow up.
I know. Yeah. I had it. Last week I was doing some gigs in this hotel in Essex.
And oh, that sounds great. All work gigs. Yeah. Oh, stop making me jealous with your hotel gigs in Essex.
And on the whole, it was just one of those. It was Christmas, so they didn't.
Yeah.
They're not there to see you. You're sort of part of it.
Yeah.
And some of them were watching you. Most of them were just chatting while you're on. And because I've grown up a little bit, but I was driving home and there was a moment I was like, fuck this, why do I fucking bother? But I've just been paid and I didn't do long. It was fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
And some people liked it. Some people didn't, but they don't give a shit. They won't remember you.
No. I've got much better at sort of letting those things go. Because Cindy used to say, I mean, I was awful, you know. She'd say, I could tell how your gig had gone by the way you opened the front door. By the sound of my key in the front door, she could tell what particular version of me was going to enter the home.
No.
Yeah. And sometimes she'd be like, I'd pretend to be asleep because I just didn't want to, you know. I'd be like, fucking
yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, to think you can angrily put a key in a lock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not the jangle of the keys.
The jangle. I gave it away with my jangle.
That was it. It was a lot more of an angry kind of,
and I've let a lot of that go. I think because in this business as well, we're so caught up in, we wear our ambitions on our sleeves a lot of the time. One of the things that will send you mad as a human being is comparing and contrasting yourself to the rest of the human race anyway. But when you're a comedian or you work in this sort of business, you're constantly comparing and contrasting yourself to other people because you're turning on the television and your peers are there or, you know, and so there's always an element of, why isn't that me? Why didn't I get that? You know, and as much as you think you're mature or whatever, or you've got this. There's a phrase that can go stuff itself. it's there. It's constantly there. And you have to sort of, you have to actually think about that and process it and work out what it is you are doing. Because if your happiness is based on somebody else's lack of success, or your unhappiness is based on their apparent success, then you haven't got full control over your own emotions.
No.
We're connected, but not in that way. Other people's successes and perceived successes have absolutely nothing to do with ours, because they don't give a shit about you, basically. Yeah. You know, so I've just had to sort of calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
And
it's one of those things that some, you know, like you say, we're all separate. So yeah. People are experiencing different things. They're in the right place, right time, getting offered things. And there's that. I think a lot of people think that the industry is actively pushing you to one side and going, no, we want that person. You go, no, they caught that break and that was it. It's not personal.
You're not being actively excluded. You're not being, because actually, to be actively excluded, they'd have to really think about you. And to be fair and to be honest, they're not thinking about you in that way, you know, or one in that way. It's less emotional than that. It is just what it is. It's just, and all you can do is just, oh God. I used to get upset about not getting jobs that I didn't want. How weird's that?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I didn't get that. And you're like, do you actually want that? So, no.
So don't worry about it then.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Oh, why aren't I getting the jobs that, you know, all the hip kids are getting? Because you're a 51-year-old woman, you daft twat. Just crack on. And it's, you know, stop wanting to be the, so I don't know, I suppose it is a getting older thing as well, where you just go, oh, I just got to let all that go. That'll trundle on without me. It's hard, but but it'll trundle on without you. All I can do is do what I do.
Yeah, I think, you have to take, like, I saw somebody the other day and they were saying that, you're everywhere, Rich, and you're really busy. I'm like, yeah, actually, yeah, I am. And I need to keep remembering that. I'm still getting booked by clubs, and I'm able to do this. People listen to this.
Yeah,
I'm still doing things, and so
that's you have all to you remind, can do.
And that's the same with everybody. No, in whatever walk of life, you've got to remember that there are good bits. It's not all shit, and because we're too busy looking ahead, going, oh yeah, but why haven't I got that? And why? What about this, that, and the other? And then you fail to kind of look around you. It's all about being present, isn't it? That's the thing.
That's, yeah. Again, bit of Californian everywhere. Be in the moment, be present. But you're absolutely bang on. I think, well, certainly I did. I lived in a sort of perceived world where I imagined my future would be better than my present.
Yeah.
When I get this and when I have that, once I have that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And when that sort of moment when you go, actually, this could be the best it ever is. Right now, right here, right in this minute, this could be the best it ever, ever is.
Yeah.
Just enjoy this bit then, because you have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring.
None.
This could be as good as it gets. And so wear it, enjoy it, move around in it, and stop projecting into the future. Because this could be it. This is it right now.
Then they're so bang on. So bang on. I just, and I'm having a really good time at the minute.
Yeah. Enjoy it. Wear it.
Yeah.
You know, swill it around in your mouth. Enjoy the flavour. Sniff it. You know, it's like a brandy, isn't it, in a large balloon glass. Enjoy it. Look at it. Sniff it. Hold it in your hand. Go, look, I've got this. I'm great. This is all good. This is all fine.
Yeah. Because a little while ago, I was making shitty chicken Kiev for my flatmate. Yeah.
Like a leather slipper infused with garlic. Yeah.
It was the worst dinner I've ever made.
Oh, I tell you, I had a pandemic dinner when the first day of lockdown. Because I think I was probably due a breakdown. When I think about it now, I was absolutely due a breakdown, but I'd been sort of too administratively busy to sort of bother to notice what I was going through. And people used to say things to me like, you've got to be kind to yourself. And I genuinely didn't understand what that meant. I honestly did. I'd be like, well, I am kind to myself. I've clothed myself and I've eaten today. What else do you want?
Yeah.
You know, it was quite hard with myself. So I was absolutely due a monumental shift of plates within me as a person. And the start of the pandemic just kicked it off for me. That was it. When everything moved, when everything shifted. And I remember making this pandemic meal for Cindy and I. We were still living together at that point. And she came home and she went, what the fuck is this? And I went, I don't know. I just panicked in co-op and this and it was like this frozen chicken fillets that had grill lines painted onto them.
yeah, I know the ones.
Do you know the ones I mean? And a tin of beans and a pineapple or something. I couldn't think. And I had a huge panic attack by the yogurts. And I think that was the moment where I went, I think there's some shit to happen right now. Stuff's going to unfold. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because you like food.
Yeah, that's it. I like food. I like cooking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bought a big bag of sunflower seeds. I don't even know why. Because in the middle of it all, the supermarket, everyone was saying all the shelves in the supermarkets are empty. But near where we lived in Leon C, there was all these little individual, like little independent
corner shops.
Yeah. There was, and I got really friendly with the Muslim family that run this particular shop. They were brilliant. But for some reason, I was in there one day and I bought this massive bag of salted sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
And I remember taking them home and I took them back to the others and they went, what are we going to do with them? I'm like, you just eat them.
Yeah.
They went,
we're going to have to get a gerbil. Where can we get a gerbil from? I think I've created a problem.
We go. And I went, no, watch. You just eat them. And they were horrible.
Horrible.
And spitting out the air.
Spitting out bits.
Yeah.
It's so not worth the effort. They're not worth the effort, the sunflower seed. It's like a pomegranate. It's all show. Pomegranate is the false tits of fruit. It's just all spangly and gem-like. And then you're like, oh, there's nothing there. And you're just pissing out bits. Yeah. So.
And then you see videos of how you're supposed to open them.
Yeah.
And then you try it and you go, this is still fucked. I still can't get it.
It's just a seed with a sort of, it's a seed and a silk blouse. That's all it is, a pomegranate. Can fuck off.
And exactly that. And you go, I don't even know why. What's the benefit of me eating this?
I think I did a similar thing to your seeds with, I think I bought a massive bag of flour at one point because I went into, a little sort of independent shop and they had bags of flour and like almost a sack of flour and just sort of bringing it home like a baker and then went on. I don't actually bake, do I? I don't know what I'm going to do with this. What am I going to do with this? Just panic, wasn't it? Just panic.
Yeah, same. It was all. We ended up, I bought trays of eggs, not just the boxes.
Yeah.
Trays of them. Like, I remember buying four trays stacked up.
Yeah, of eggs. I mean, what?
Yeah.
What like, are you doing? What, a roadside calf? What are you? No, I'm sort of, the pandemic was no disrespect to all of the horror that surrounded that, but for me personally, it was the thing I needed to start the chain of events, which culminated in me having a breakdown, which resulted in me now having a much better life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. It happened and now it's like the cleanup and.
Yeah.
Initially, you're looking around, you're bombed out flat, going, "Well, I don't even know where to start."
No,
but now you're like, now you've, you now you go, "Oh no, now it's decorated, and now it's got the furniture back in, and now it's looking like it used to, but it's a better version.
It's a much better version, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel much more connected to who I am.
Yeah.
Again, this is all fridge magnet fucking philosophy, isn't it? Sorry.
Fridge magnet philosophy.
Sorry about
book.
That. Yeah. I want new fridge magnets. I fucking hate, do you know, because I walk around here a lot and there's a lot of Love Live Lifes in windowsills I want to replace all of those with Know Your Limits. I think that's a good one to have. Say no a lot. Yeah. Or the other one I want is, if your gut tells you they're a dick, they're a dick.
That's yeah. You are adequate.
Yeah. You are that's enough. Yeah. Am I though? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you're enough.
Zoe Lyons, you've absolutely reached your limit of...
you've peaked.
Yeah, that's it. And I think you've peaked. And it's all maybe it is, because I tell you what I found fascinating. I'm going to call it the Liz Truss experiment, because it did feel like a sort of social experiment in the end, because it was so insane to watch somebody who was completely inept in that position. And I blame fridge magnets for Liz Truss. Because we live in a society where we're constantly be told to strive and to achieve, and that you've got this, babes.
Yes.
You've got this, babes. I believe in you. You got this.
That's it.
And you know what? Sometimes we've not got this. And she didn't have it, babes. And what she had was monumental ambition, but fuck all talent. And sometimes I think we are depressed because we feel we haven't achieved our full potential. And what I would say to you is, maybe you have. Just lower your expectations.
Yeah. Not all of us can be the prime minister. No. You know, there's that thing about shoot your shot. You go, not all the time.
Not all the time. But this is sort of weird. Philosophy, I suppose, or societal philosophy that, you know, dream it, be it, do it. It's like, well, within reason, you know. And I look at Liz Truss and I go, she dreamt it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she had a molehill of talent on a mountain of ambition. So just sort of align yourself and realise that actually sometimes what you're doing is enough. It's enough. You know, it's enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This, you just got to know that I will never play basketball for the Lakers or whoever.
No.
Yeah, it was never going to happen. Yeah. Not a million years. And for me to go, that is when you see these things, they go, you can be anything you want to be, you just got to give it your best and do.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not true.
It's not true.
There has to be an element of common sense and.
Yeah, let's get a bit of common sense in. But also, don't get depressed when you don't achieve ridiculous targets.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure on people now to achieve the whole time. I think it's really hard for us, I think, just to sit and be. I get it. If I didn't work yesterday, I had a day off yesterday, and always there's a bit in the back of my head going tick, 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 tick. When you're not working, others are. When you're not working, others are. And I'm walking in the woods going, I am trying to be with the trees. But there is this tick, 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 tick. You know, you're not earning, you're not being, you're not vital, you're not relevant. And it's so hard to sort of box that up and shove it under a bed for a bit.
Yeah. It's just, I went out, so Kate had a gig, and so I went along with her, and at the end, Jimmy, who was the MC, he went, I was going to stick you on, Rich, but I thought it'd be rude to ask you to go on, and blah, blah. I was like, to be honest, I wasn't bothered. I was there to support Kate.
Yeah.
I was having a nice time. I was enjoying watching people I've not seen before.
Yeah.
Hey guys,
you want to just jump up and do a tight 10?
Yeah, and no one likes that prick.
Jump up. Yeah. Just sort of jump on here.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Tosser. Yeah. Yeah, it was nice just to not know. I was like, I actually felt all right. Yes, because ordinarily, if I don't have a gig at the end of the day, I feel the day hasn't got a kind of direction.
Mm.
But I'm getting better at kind of going, yeah, well, that's fine. It doesn't have to be an exciting adventure every day. Sometimes it's just a day.
Yeah.
And it's nice. And you've still got things to look forward to. You've got gigs. You've got beautiful people in your life. Mm. Everything's fine, mate. Chill out.
Everything's fine. It's all good.
And anyone listening, we are, like we said earlier, we are really lucky to do what we do.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, totally. Yeah. I think anybody who's ever had the opportunity to stand on stage and talk to a room full of people.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody who does that is a hero of mine. I because it's not an easy thing to do. But also, you know, I understand that we're very lucky people. We're very lucky people.
Really lucky. And we've got, like I say, like Kate, my wife, she's astonishingly brilliant. I love her. I just love being around her. She's got it all, and it's brilliant. And it's nice when I saw you guys. I can't remember. I think it was at the Caroline, and you both when you walked in, and it was like, and I didn't know you were back together.
And
I was like, and I just felt so much joy in my heart when you both walked in.
You.
I was like, yeah, look at that. All right, that's all right, isn't it?
Took a bit of work, but there you are, bash that into shape.
Yeah. But then Cindy seems like she's doing things as well. She's doing modeling and that's great.
Yeah, I think we've just learned to be better individuals has made us a better couple.
Yeah,
we're much, much, much stronger as individuals. I think what we also learned was we don't actually need to be with each other, because what if you spent a year apart?
Mm.
That's quite a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't need to be with each other.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But now we want to be with each other.
I don't know. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that before, of course.
Yeah. You know, after a year, you've got your own routines going on after a year. You've got your own things happening. You've got your own little ways of doing things again. So you don't actually need to be in that relationship. But the thing that changed was we wanted to be together.
Yeah. That's, I've never thought about that before. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I say that, Rich, but actually in the end, I did need a bit. I mean, I wasn't great.
There's a little bit of need.
I was all right. It's weird because I hadn't lived on my own for 20 odd years. In fact, I've very rarely lived on my own, so it's quite.
Well, I used to think about, do you know, when I was in a relationship and it wasn't going very well, and I used to be like, do you know what I really want? I want my own flat with my own things in it, and I can come and go as I please, and I can have whoever I want over. And I want to do that. But actually, I don't think I do want that. I actually quite like being with someone. I like being in a relationship. Having the gap in between breaking up with my ex and now being with Kate. I met some wonderful people and I love them dearly. And I, you know, they got a bit caught up in the bullshit that I was going through, but they were lovely. I like this, you know, I like being in a relationship. I think that's where I'm more comfortable.
Yeah. Good.
Or whether that's an insecurity thing or a safety thing, I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. It's nice.
Good.
I like it.
Good. Oh, well, I'm glad that we're both going to have a good Christmas moving forward as well.
Yeah.
It's positive.
You're going to go and feed yourself to the sharks.
I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to put myself a pig in blanket into the sharks. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to have the chintziest.
Your tree is lovely. I feel bad
Look
for
at
it. Shitty tree. That's a lovely tree.
Do you know what? We've even got our initials on the tree in decorations, like a K and an R.
Oh, God, that's made butt cheeks twitch.
And it's like, they light up as well. They light up.
Oh, no.
What a pair of dickheads. What a pair of dickheads. But it's gonna be we're gonna visit people.
Nice.
So there's gonna be we've got the Christmas jumpers ready to go. Oh, we're gonna be wankers.
Yeah, great.
Such wankers.
Brilliant. Are you working over Christmas?
Yes, I'm working up until the 23rd. But I'm in Brighton that week.
Okay.
So that's brilliant. So I'm just walking to work. So that's going to be a piss up that week.
Yeah.
So that'd if anyone's nice. In the Brighton area the week before
we'll
Christmas.
We'll have to hook up for a pint.
Yeah, yeah.
We still haven't hooked up for a pint. Yes.
Let's do that then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely. And then we can, before you go off and kill yourself.
Make myself shark bait. Yeah. The last time I went diving in Mexico, I don't went diving with bull sharks. And I shit myself. I really do. And I remember the guy before we jumped in the water went, and if any of them come too close, just make yourself really big and blow bubbles. And you're like, oh, shit.
Every bubbles come out your asshole.
Oh, my God. Let me just spray it with my own shit.
Like a startled octopus.
Yeah. Yeah. Squid ink. Yeah.
Is it not? That's the thing, though, isn't it? That's the misconception, isn't it? Because of the film Jaws, everyone thought that sharks were evil. But they're just predators, aren't they?
They're just an animal, aren't they? I don't think they have a moral compass.
No.
You know, they're an animal, and you're an animal, and then you're both animals in the same space, you know.
Yeah. I did see, because my eldest son loves sharks, so we were always sending videos, and there was one. There was this fishing, they were fishing, and as they were bringing their fish up, it was a massive fish as well. Mm. This shark... I've never seen a shark move so fast. Mm. It's like it's one big muscle and it just arrived out of nowhere and just ripped this fish off the line.
Yeah.
And just disappeared. You're like,
wow.
Me. So all this like, oh, if they get a bit close, just, you know, punch it in the nose or do it. You don't even know it's there.
No, you haven't got a chance. One of the most incredible things I ever saw when I was on a dive trip once was tuna hunting, and honest to God, the speed at which those things move, and they were flying. Oh my God. And a tuna is massive. They were massive, you know, the size of a table. And they were moving with such speed and with such just electric motion. You could actually hear it going bang in the water. They're just exploding with energy. And they were going past us like boom, boom. And if one of those hit you, you'd be dead. Yeah.
God, yeah.
It would smart. A bit like my band today in CrossFit that took my eye out. Oh, God.
Are you all right? Have you hurt yourself? Is it bruised?
It was a bit blurry for about an hour. You know when you don't want to sort of make a fuss, but you're like, I think I've really hurt myself. I've really hurt myself. Yeah.
Especially when it's that pain, but it's so intense. And he's like, it's just...
straight in the eye. Straight in the eye. What a dick. Know your limits.
Know your limits, kids.
Know your limits. Oh,
this has been amazing, Zoe. Thanks for doing this. It's been great.
An absolute pleasure. It's lovely to be on the other side with you, Rich.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? What a lovely thing. And it's genuinely, like I said, when I saw you guys that first time. It was just so beautiful. I was like, fucking yeah, that's the one. That's what I needed.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So we you're on all the socials. We'll get those ones. We'll put the links up. And
I'm on the gram and stuff. I'm on there, and I'm going on tour next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you going? All over?
Everywhere. I mean, somebody's just thrown a dart at a map, and it's everywhere. So I'm doing that from February onwards. So my website is zoelines.co.uk, and all the tickets are on there. So
lovely.
It'd be nice to see people. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, nice one. Well, let's sort out that pint for Christmas.
I would love that. Let's do that. Yeah, as long as we promise to wear our Christmas jumpers.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Zoe.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure.
Insane in the Membrane.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.